With its abundant natural beauty, charming towns, and friendly people, South Carolina offers the kind of discoveries that stay with you long after you've left. Like the realization you're good at something you never before tried. Or your first oyster roast, and a taste you didn't expect to love. And other times, it just hits. Like the view on a windswept Appalachian mountaintop. So come find the undiscovered you in South Carolina. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And, of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live, as you can every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. The Predators in action tonight on the road at St. Louis, taking on the Blues tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Willie Donick will join us later on in the show, joining us from a beautiful, wonderful, gorgeous city of St. Louis, Missouri. D-Mace, what's up?
What's going on?
Just living, D-Mace. Hey. Nick Kieser is with us as well. What's going on, Nick?
Oh, just living life, guys. Living life and wishing I had some more coffee right now.
Just living the dream. Well, I want to start here because, of course, the biggest news of the week, the Titans have found their general manager of the future, Rand Carthon, hiring the director of player personnel from the San Francisco 49ers. So this is a question that we had ever since the middle of the season when Amy Adams Strunk decided to cut ties with John Robinson. It's what's the future of the relationship between Mike Vrabel and John Robinson? What does that mean for John Robinson's role? So the question now that we know who the general manager of the future is now that they found their GM, who do we think will have final say with roster decisions, with drafting? And I think there's a totally different and separate question of who should have final say with roster decisions and with drafting. I'll start with the second question, D-Mace. Mm-hmm. Who do you think should have final say with roster decisions?
Well, I mean, it's a tricky dynamic here because, you know, Rand has sort of gone through the process of being a talent scout, scouting college players and then scouting pro players. And now he's found himself in a position of GM with a lot of hard work prior to this job, and he deserves it. So it's not like he doesn't have the ability to evaluate talent on both levels, whether it be the college level or the pro level, and then you know, get together with whoever, head coach, whoever, to try to put together a team that is more than competitive, a championship team. You see every place, every stop that he has had, those teams have been either, you know, in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl. So they've sort of set this championship sort of motto or championship mind thought of going out, getting players to make sure we are competitive each and every year. And then, you know, what Mike has been able to do his 5 years here at helping, you know, with the help of John Robinson, the former GM, at putting together a team that's competitive and had a shot at going to the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, through all those moves, you know, it came to be the roster was weakened at the bottom of it. So both guys have experience at evaluating talent and then putting the team together. But to me, I think ultimately the say should be the GM. I think ultimately the GM should have control over the whole roster because, listen, the coach has a hard enough job trying to get these guys to go out and play and everything else throughout the week. Now, it can be, like they have said, it can be a collaborative effort. But I think no matter who has the last say, and I believe it should be Rand Carthon, but whoever has the last say, it should be for the betterment of the team. And with that being said, then both guys should work equally to try to make this team as good as it possibly can be heading to each and every season. So, but ultimately, listen, you hired Rand to help build a championship team, then let him do his job.
And, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that the Titans would do anything that they didn't think would be the best option for the team or the best path to winning for this team. But sometimes that's not always the right answer.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's not always what ends up being best for the team. But at the time, that's what they think. And I think the more important question is, what do you actually think will happen? Who do you actually think will have final say based off of what Amy Adams Strunk has said about being a collaborative effort, based off of who they brought in and Rand Carthon and his experience? Who do you think will ultimately have final say between Rand Carthon and
I think it'll be Rand, judging by what Amy has put out already. And she zeroed in on the San Francisco 49ers and their culture that they built. And not to say that with the help of John and Mike, they didn't build a culture of winning. They did. But she zeroed in on that. Like, listen, this is one of the main reasons, essentially, why I hired them. Look at what they were able to do in San Francisco. They put together a championship team. Well, if that was one of the main reasons why you hired Rand Carthon, well, allow him to build a championship team here as well.
So I think, in terms of who I think should have final say, I agree with you. I think it should be the GM. I think, and I look at so many teams around the league where the coach does have final say, whether it's written in black and white in print in their contract or whether it's just understood. Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan has final say. John Lynch is the general manager, but really, you know, Kyle Shanahan kind of pulls the puppet strings in San Francisco. Andy Reid, I'm sure, has final roster say. Pete Carroll has final roster say. Bill Belichick is the general manager in New England. And those are all very well-run organizations. That's what you and I both agree. I have so much confidence in Rand Carthon because of where he comes from. Because he is coming from a very well-run organization that I would love for the Titans to be constructed similarly to the 49ers. So I understand that like the coach having final say isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I look at the Titans situation, and Mike Vrabel, I don't think, necessarily wants to be sitting in the film room for hours and hours and hours a day breaking down Marshall offensive linemen or looking at, you know, D3 schools trying to find a diamond in the rough and scouting some of the later rounds. I don't think that's what Mike Vrabel ultimately wants to do. So for Mike Vrabel to have final roster say or final draft decisions, and he's not doing those things that Rand Carthon has done. I mean, we had Mike Fisher on the show yesterday, and he was saying that he is just a total film and football junkie. Jared was talking on the show yesterday that Rand Carthon would call, you know, former Florida player, they were teammates at Florida together, Max Starks, who calls Conference USA games. And he said that Rand Carthon would call him about these, you know, these tight ends at, you know, whatever school in Conference USA, and he's doing his homework. Rand Carthon does those things. He will go to the depths of, you know, of NFL tapes or at the bottom of the waiver wire. He'll look at these very obscure and niche college football games and do his homework. That's what Rand Carthon was brought in to do. Not that Mike Vrabel can't do that. Not that Mike Vrabel won't do that if that's what's best for the football team. But Mike Vrabel's got a whole lot on his plate as well.
Exactly.
So I'm with you. I think that the general manager should have final say, because that's what the general manager's job is.
Yeah, and we've, you know, we've been so, the dynamics of running a team has been so for so long. You know, it's been the owner, GM, you know, or owner, president, GM, head coach, or whoever else is in the middle, head coach, and then so forth and so on. But you do run into some situations like the New England Patriots or the San Francisco 49ers, where it's not just, it's more so the, yeah, there's a GM in place, but, you know, the head coach has more to say than anything. So can it work? Yeah, I'm not saying it can't work. But like you said, that's a lot of that's a lot of responsibility to go along with trying to coach the team and everything. And that's a lot of responsibility for a guy that has been at his job only 5 years, and where this roster at this point needs a lot of work, you know. So if you're bringing in Rand Carthon because of, again, because of what he did or helped do or ex- or watched and experienced them do in San Francisco. He's been in St. Louis. He's been in Atlanta, places that were winning while he was there. Not to say he, you know, had
a huge hand.
Yeah, he had a huge hand in it, but he saw the process. You know, Atlanta went to a Super Bowl. The Rams, once they moved to L.A., they went to a Super Bowl. You have San Francisco went to a Super Bowl, still competing for a Super Bowl, even after going to a Super Bowl many years ago. So he saw the process of building these teams. All right, if you hired him, let him build this team exactly the way they did, you know, at least close to it, because if anything, San Francisco has shown us that, and you know, that if you put together a good enough team from the bottom to the top, you can sustain a winning culture for a very long time.
And who I think should have final say, that really means nothing. It's just simply my opinion. But who I personally think will ultimately have final say, and this is based off of no insight, this is based off of no reporting, this is just simply my analysis of what I have heard from Amy Adams Drunk and Mike Vrabel and how I've seen this process kind of fall out, is I think Mike Vrabel ultimately will have final say. I think I look at how Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon both are going to report to Amy Adams Drunk. I look at, you know, going back to Mike Vrabel's press conference right after John Robinson got fired, when it was asked, who will have final say, Mike? Is it the future general manager or is it you? Or he said it'll be Amy Adams Drunk.
Mm-hmm.
All of that combined makes me believe that Mike Vrabel, and you know, I think it's obvious, Mike Vrabel is obviously going to have a much larger role within this organization since he is reporting to Amy Adams Drunk. That's not something that he did when John Robinson was the general manager. John Robinson reported to Amy Adams Drunk. Mike Vrabel reported to John Robinson. It was a very clear, you know, distribution of power. There was a very clear chain of command. I think now that it's already been reported that Mike Vrabel will be directly reporting to the owner, directly reporting to Amy Adams Drunk, it means he'll have a much larger role. And I think that he'll have final say. And whether that ends up being a good thing or a bad thing within this organization, I don't know. You know, we're going to have to see that play out. I don't know. And maybe I'm not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just, you know, my incorrect analysis. But based off of everything I've heard, I have a feeling that Mike Vrabel is going to have final say.
Well, if that is indeed the case, then, you know, I can't believe that's the case. I just can't, because if I'm a guy and I've been, you know, if I've been along this track of, you know, trying to be a GM or positioning myself to be a GM and working my way through the ranks, whether it was breaking down film at first and then went to college scouting and then pro personnel, then college scouting, and stayed there for some years. And then all of a sudden, now I get elevated to GM of a franchise that is going in the opposite direction. You know, it's not going in a good direction. It's going in an opposite direction. And I have an interview with the owner, and she tells me, well, at the end of the day, the head coach has to say, I'm walking out the building. I am. Because to me, he's had to say for the last 5 years and see what this organization is. You know, it's headed down. You're bringing me in here because of my experience being pro personnel or college or scout personnel, you know, about a part of the scouting program or scouting division at other teams. If you're bringing me here to build up a team, then let me build up a team. I'm going to work with the head coach, you know, because ultimately he has to coach the guys that we go get, but I'm going to work with him. But ultimately it's my decision on who's here and who's not. If you want to give it to him, make him the GM then. You know, I don't want to go through that. You know, I'm here to help you build a team. He had his chance with the last GM and see where you're at now. You're hiring me because of the mistakes they made. So I don't, you know, let me handle this and we will work together and we will build a championship team.
I hope you're right, D-Mace.
I hope I am too.
But the one person that knows this entire situation on both sides better than anyone is so confident about how the relationship between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon will play out. But some things are inevitable. So how will this team and how will that dynamic approach the inevitable. We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your phone, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, getting to your calls, your texts, your thoughts on the balance of power between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, and your thoughts on the Titans' hiring of Rand Carthon. It's Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Well, everybody knew he's going to get a GM job at some point. His name had been out there for a while. You know, his dad, Maurice, was a disciple of Bill Parcells, played for him, coached under him, coached a long time. And the apple didn't fall far from the tree. He's going to get along with Mike Vrabel very well, and I think the Titans got a guy. Everybody's in demand for the 49ers because the organization has been so good and so successful.
There you go. That was John McClain on the Titans hiring of Rand Carthon as their new general manager. And, I mean, nobody's more plugged into the NFL than John McClain. He's saying, hey, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are going to get along great. And you know the honeymoon phase in a relationship? Everything's great and wonderful, and there's no, you know, conflicts that have arisen, and it's such a wonderful time in the beginning of a relationship. And that's kind of where we are with Rand Carthon and the Titans, is it's all really good right now. It's exciting. He just got hired. It feels like a new age of Titans football. And there's nobody that knows more about this Titans and Rand Carthon marriage than Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher worked with Rand Carthon when they were at the Rams, both in St. Louis and L.A., when Rand Carthon was the director of player personnel. And then, of course, Jeff Fisher, former Titans head coach, he knows Amy Adams Strunk, he knows the organization, so nobody is more plugged into this entire situation as a whole than Jeff Fisher is. And Jeff Fisher thinks that these two are going to be besties. This was Jeff Fisher on the show yesterday.
It's not going to be... Okay, I'm taking this. I want this guy. You want that guy. I have final say, so I'm getting this guy. And you got to buy into it and stand up there on national TV, and we have to have everybody clap because we like our pick. No, this is legit. This is going to be a legit relationship between the two of them. Now, I don't know what went on behind the scenes as far as the hiring process, but I would have to say that I've not worked with Mike. I've watched Mike from afar, and I have nothing but respect for what Mike has done to this point and what he's going to do in the future. I have worked with Rand, and I don't see any reason why this thing doesn't flourish.
I don't see any reason why the relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel doesn't flourish. And even Charles Robinson, somebody that isn't as plugged in to the Titans organization or to Rand Carthon as a person, as a member of a front office, he even thinks the same thing. This was Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie on Rex Road.
Rand is being brought in to work with Mike. I think that I would expect that there's going to be, again, a very similar setup to what's going on in San Francisco. The way that Mike wants to build it, the kind of character and types of guys that Mike wants are going to be the type of players that Rand leans into. And again, the people who know Rand say that he's a really good fit with Mike Vrabel. So maybe it's a little less relevant other than, you know, Mike having survived this and expecting that he's going to have a lot of influence.
So we've heard nothing but glowing recommendations or reviews about the relationship between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. And those are three people, John McClain, Jeff Fisher, Charles Robinson, that are so plugged into the league and have these sources. So I have no reason to believe that this relationship won't be great, that Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon will get along wonderfully, to use Jeff Fisher's word, that this relationship is going to flourish. But some things are inevitable, and disagreements, especially when you're working in the NFL, personnel decisions are concerned, disagreements are going to be inevitable. There might be a guy that Vrabel loves in the draft that Rand Carthon says, no, we need this guy. There might be a lineman that Rand Carthon just loves and Vrabel says, no, we need to get a wide receiver, whatever it might be. Those kind of things and those kinds of disagreements are inevitable. So that's why I think it is so important by the time that Rand Carthon gets up to the podium tomorrow, and of course, Rand Carthon's introductory press conference tomorrow at noon, we will air that live on 1025 The Game. And by the time he gets up to the podium, and I know he's inevitably going to be asked, who has final say? What is the balance of power between you and Mike Vrabel? He's not going to answer that question. But I think on the inside, they need to know. They need to know who ultimately has final say. And all parties need to be on board with that. And I don't think that Rand Carthon would have been hired if he wasn't on board with the you know, the delegation of power. But I think they need to know that, and they need to know who really has the most pull. Because as we're hearing, you know, they're going to have a wonderful relationship, and I don't doubt that at all. Mm-hmm. But when those times come, the inevitable disagreements, you need to have one person that says, look, I'm the one. I'm the one who ultimately gets to decide. Because if you don't, then you're just going to go back and forth, and that's just dysfunction within the organization. That's the last thing that Amy Adams Strunk wants for this football team.
Yeah, I mean, relationships at any level takes work, and there's going to be some disagreements. But in those disagreements, there needs to be a level of respect. And, you know, you respect my decision making. I respect your decision making. Maybe we disagree on this particular player, but we're not going to, it's not going to start some friction. And I think Jeff said it yesterday. Listen, if we can't, I think it was Jeff, if we can't agree on this player together, let's move on. Let's move on to someone else, because obviously the room is split. And, you know, if you don't want me to have more power and I don't want you to have more power, then let's just move on to the next guy. Then hopefully we can come together as a team, as an organization, on how we want to proceed on putting together a roster. You know, it. I believe just like with John, because we heard all these things with John Robinson, and I'm not saying that John and Mike's relationship was, it ended up being bad, because I don't think it did. I just think Amy chose to step in and, you know, decided, hey, listen, we need to go in another direction with the GM. I don't think it was because of, you know, Mike's and John's relationship. I think it was Amy's, I want to go in another direction. So, but we heard all of that with John, but John still ended up getting fired at the end. So was it John's decision to get these players that ultimately got him fired? Okay, if that's indeed the case, then we're going to try to run this back again. And now we're saying, Mike, you have autonomy over all of this once it's said and done. All right, if this stuff don't get fixed, your ass is out too, okay? Basically, that's what it is, you know? So to me, if you've hired a GM, let him do the GM jobs. And if that relationship is a good relationship, then what the GM's vision is the head coach's vision. What the head coach's vision is the offensive coordinator's vision. What's the offensive coordinator's vision is the OC, so forth and so on. It filters all the way down to the team. It filters all the way down to the equipment people, to the trainers, everybody else. So there shouldn't be, if everybody's on the same page, there shouldn't be any turmoil at the end. There shouldn't be I have power, so I'm going to make this decision. If we all are thinking the same thing and we all want the same thing, then, you know, we all should agree that okay, this player we do want, this player we don't want. You know, ultimately, all we want to do is make this franchise the best franchise that we could possibly make it moving forward. But ultimately, you know, if this thing doesn't work, somebody's going. You know, whether it be the head coach or the GM or both. Eventually, if you don't get this team to a championship caliber team before they move into that stadium, both or one of y'all are gone. I'm calling it already. If they don't get this, and I believe they will, but if they don't get this roster back to where Miss Amy is satisfied before they move into that stadium in 2026 or 2027, then one or both of y'all may be gone. And we may be starting this thing over again.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get your thoughts on that, your calls, your texts, plus a third member of that dynamic. What is that person's role? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
To remain as it was with the previous GM, or are you looking for that to increase?
Well, I'm just looking to try to bring in the best people and the best players that we possibly can.
Collaborative,
again, just going forward, just trying to find the best GM right now. That's the next step. You know, trying to work through the staff, work through the players, work through meetings. And then when they ask me to be involved, I'm comfortable and excited to be involved in the process, not about where we were.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. This was the press conference, the first time we heard anyone within the Titans organization, and the first time we heard from Mike Vrabel after John Robinson got fired in the middle of the season. And he said, look, I'm just trying to find the best players possible. And I think that he, Rand Carthon, Amy Adams Strunk, of course they all have the same end goal. They all want what is best for this football team. They all want to win games. They all want to win championships. That is the end goal. They are all aligned with that goal. Everyone in football is aligned with that goal. But I know that there will inevitably be a point where one of them, two of them, three of them, all of them may disagree on the path at how to achieve that goal. And we heard from Jeff Fisher, we heard from Charles Robinson, we've heard from so many people that know these people either on a personal level or not even on a personal level, maybe a professional level, mm-hmm. that have said that these two are going to get along great. And I have no reason to believe that that's not the case. But it's also very early. It's also the honeymoon stage that right now they'll say, yeah, we're going to get along and we're going to be aligned. You know, we're going to work together. We're going to make amicable decisions. But they're coming into, you know, a high stress time of the season. We're getting close to draft time. We're getting close to the point where the Titans are going to have to make really massive decisions for this football team. And at first, it may be an easy delegation of power of mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel says, hey, I'm going to take care of my coaching staff. I'm going to hire the GM. I'm going to hire the offensive line coach. I'm going to take care of my coaching staff. That's my domain. And Rand Carthon says, okay, that's your job. I'm going to start doing some evaluation. I'm going to go to the Senior Bowl. I'm going to look at tape. I'm going to evaluate this team. I'm going to see what this team needs and how many players in this draft can fill those holes. Okay, cool, ready, break. We have all got our own roles and we all work together great and it's all fine and dandy. But there's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. So where does Amy Adams Strunk come into play with this? Because in that same press conference that we just heard that clip from Mike Vrabel, he was asked that same question, of course, of who has final say. He says, you know, we are going to work together, but ultimately Amy will have final say. And I think there is probably a good bit of truth to that. That if it gets to the point where things aren't all sunshine and rainbows, and there needs to be a tiebreaker, and neither side between Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are willing to bend the knee and say, okay, you know what, you're right. We can draft your guy. We can, you know, pick this guy up off the waiver wire, whatever it might be. But if they can't agree, and Amy Adams Strunk has final say, how would you feel about that, D-Mace?
Oh, man. It's her team. In theory, I mean, realistically, she does have say over whatever happens in that building because it's hers. That's like me, you know, owning my house. I have say over whatever goes on in my house. But, you know, when my daughter comes to visit, things kind of change, you know.
She's going to be in charge.
Exactly. But ultimately, you know, I have say over, but I'm listening, you know, hey, yeah, I need to paint a wall here or do something here. I'm listening to y'all and I might agree with you, but ultimately I have say over what happens because it's mine. Same thing with Amy. She will listen and everything else, but ultimately, realistically, she has say. But do you want it to be that way? Probably not, because I'm sure she has a whole bunch of other things that she needs to worry about outside of, you know, football or outside of putting together a championship team. Now, she wants to make sure the day-to-day stuff from a corporate standpoint is working the way it's supposed to with this team. But when you're talking about the actual team, putting together team, I'm not going to say that she doesn't, you know anything about it, because I'm sure she does, but she's not experts like these guys are. You know, they're in this position for a reason. You hired Rand Carthon for a reason. You hired Mike Vrabel for a reason. And that reason was to evaluate the players, put together a championship team, and then coach that championship team. You didn't put them together just so you can have say. You're not Jerry Jones. You hadn't portrayed yourself as a Jerry Jones. So ultimately, does she have decision? Yes, she does. But is that the right thing possibly to do? Probably not. If you are confident enough to hire these individuals, then let them do their job, you know, and then once you look upon their job, you can say, okay, I like what y'all did. Or, okay, you out of here. One of the two. You're either going to love what they did or you're not, and you're going to get rid of them. She's already done that. So I don't want her to have say over the roster, but I do want her to be able to look at it and say, okay, based upon what we discussed as a unit, based upon what our vision is as a unit, this team looks just like that, and I'm happy. So let's move forward.
And I do think it would be an interesting dynamic, because my understanding is, and I could be totally off base here, is everything was John Robinson's decision.
Mm-hmm.
Trading for Julio Jones, that was a John Robinson move. Trading A.J. Brown, that was a John Robinson move. Of course, moves that need the approval of the head coach and the owner, but those are moves made by John Robinson. That's his say. If the owner says no, those moves wouldn't have happened. But that's John Robinson's call. Now it is going to be ultimately Amy Adams Strunk's call. And no, it's not going to be Amy Adams Strunk is going to be in the film room with Rand Carthon,
sure?
And saying, I like that left guard. Let's take him. I can only imagine that their interpretation of this relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel is they will be amicable 99% of the time. But Amy Adams Strunk opinion or final say or her stamp of approval is going to happen about 1% of the time. So it might be in an instance where they disagree on, let's say, lineman or wide receiver in the first round of the draft. And I don't know if it's going to come down to that. Hopefully they don't disagree on who you take with the 11th overall pick in the NFL draft.
But hopefully everybody's in agreement that it's this
yes,
guy.
But just for, you know, example's sake, that in that one instance, Mike Vrabel will plead his case, Rand Carthon will plead his case, and Amy Adams Strunk is simply there just to say, okay, I like this. We'll go with this. We'll go that route. So I don't think it's going to be I don't think Amy Adams Strunk's role is going to be so massive that she is involved in every single roster decision of let's go pick up so-and-so off of the Seattle Seahawks practice squad. I don't think she needs to be involved in those conversations. I don't think that she's going to have, you know, ultimate say in those conversations. But in the times that does come, inevitably, even though we're hearing all of the sunshine and rainbows about how well Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel are going to get along, and I'm sure they're going to get along fine. But looking at the inevitable here, how much will Amy Adams Strunk's opinion be or say be involved within the big decisions of this football team?
Well, I mean, we're not going to know.
We're not
going to know because obviously we don't know how much say she had in regards to the roster when John was GM. And if she didn't have say over the roster, then why would she then want to take on that responsibility now? Again, I go back to, you know, you hired someone to do this job and let him do his job. You hired a head coach to coach the team and help put together a roster. Let him do his job and so forth and so on.
But she hired this general manager to do this job within the context of Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel knowing what their roles were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't hire Rand Carthon and then all of a sudden say, okay, now both of you report to me and you two are going to be equals and I'm going to have the final say. That was, I believe, had to have been agreed upon well before that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mike Vrabel's first press conference after John Robinson got fired a month and a half-ish ago, that's what Mike Vrabel said, was that Amy Adams Strunk had final say. Mm-hmm. So Rand Carthon was hired within that context of, you know, you two will be equals, report to me, and I'll have final say.
Yeah, but he also could have just been answering a question based upon the here and now.
Totally true.
Right now... The last say goes to Amy because there's truly no, you know, GM in place. The GM that we have now is an interim GM.
Mm-hmm.
It's not set in stone. We're going to get another one. But at this particular point, until she finds another GM, then she has say over things moving forward. Now, when she has a hire a GM, things may change. But as we speak now, then, yeah. We both report to GM at the time, Kyleton, I believe. We both report ultimately to Amy. I think now, listen, if, you know, great franchises or great owners hire great GMs. Great GMs end up hiring great coaches. Great coaches end up hiring great OCs and defensive coordinators. Well, he wasn't here a part of the coach's search, but he do believe that, I'm sure that Mike is a really good coach. So you hired,
really
exactly,
good coach, yeah.
You hired somebody to do a job you felt was great, would be great at his job, so let him do his job, and then he will allow Mike to do his.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your thoughts on that, on Rand Carthon, on the relationship between he and Mike Vrabel. And don't forget Rand Carthon's introductory press conference tomorrow at noon. We will air that press conference live on 1025-1063, The Game.
So he comes from a winning organization that's done a great job with personnel. If you look at their roster, and Rand Carthon was director of player personnel who worked on both sides, college and pro, and they've got a lot of NFL players who weren't first-round picks, and then they've coached them up and developed them. And if you watch their defense, which is the best in the NFL, they play together, they're smart, they're physical. And then on offense, they lead the NFL in scoring, which is amazing when you consider they have a seventh-round pick at quarterback in Brock Purdy, who started six games and played most of the seventh one. And it's just a great organization, and they know they're going to lose people. They have other people ready to step up. So I think the Titans, Amy Adams, Strunk, and Mike Vrabel, they've got them a guy who's very respected around the NFL. People have thought for a while now he's an up-and-comer. Only a matter of time till he became a GM. It's just a matter of which team.
There you go. That was John McClain. Just going along with the same things that we've heard about Rand Carthon from around the league, from insiders in the league. Jeff Fisher joined our show yesterday, and I could literally hear his smile over the phone because he was so excited and so happy for Rand Carthon and was gushing about how good of a person he is, how good of a football guy he is. John McClain saying the same thing, kind of reiterating what Jeff Fisher told us yesterday on the show. Hal Gill will join us in 15 minutes, and I want to get to your phones. I see your phones lining up about Rand Carthon, the relationship between he and Mike Vrabel. But as we talk about the distribution of power, of who has final say, of how, you know, friendly Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon could be, but we know inevitably it'll get to a point where they may disagree on decisions. But another side of that, as far as Amy Adams Strunk is concerned, is who gets the blame? Because ideally, they would be able to agree with every decision, and every decision would be the right one. The Titans start winning games. They go 17-0, and they win the Super Bowl, and everything is fine and dandy. And hey, that'd be great if that happened. I'd love if that happened. It's more likely than not that that's not going to happen. That there might be expectations that Amy Adams Strunk goes into the 2023, 4, 5, 6, 7 season of, okay, we want to go for a Super Bowl this year. This is how far our team got this past year. This is how far we want to go to the next year. And if the team doesn't meet that expectation, then who is she going to look to say, that's on you? If Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon are each going to be, you know, hand in hand walking into the sunset and everything's going to be great, but what if it's not? What if, you know, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel may agree on a decision, but it's the wrong one? What if Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel each decide we are going to draft this left tackle out of Georgia who ends up taking two snaps with the team and is no longer in the NFL and gives you nothing with a first-round draft pick? That's happened before.
Yes.
So who's going to get the blame? If they make these decisions equally, if they truly do have collaboration between the decision-making, who is Amy Adams Strunk going to turn to if and when things don't go according to plan, if this football team doesn't meet the expectations that she sets for it, and these two make decisions hand in hand, who is she going to look to say it's your fault that this team isn't winning games? She looked at John Robinson and said this team isn't going in the right direction and you're to blame for it, not Mike Vrabel.
Yeah. You know, he was sort of, John had to, you know, in a sense, fall on the sword and sort of take one for the team. I think, you know, after you win Coach of the Year and, you know, the team has gotten better from a record standpoint considering what has happened, then I think she's, you know, what has happened with the roster, I think she leaned more toward the head coach. And she felt that, you know, she gave John the responsibility to build a roster. And, you know, he did a good job for the most part. But I think she felt that, you know, looking at what has happened over the last 2 years, the injuries and everything else, that the bottom half of the roster, that the more I think about it, I think that had to be her mind thought of either I move on with John or I keep him, you know, in, you know, I keep him here on the team. She had to have looked at the bottom half of the roster and said, it's just not good enough. And if it's not good enough, then she pointed to John, like, I gave you the responsibility to build this roster from the bottom up. And you know, you just couldn't do it for whatever reason. You just couldn't do it. So I'm going in a different direction. And it happened. So now Rand walks in and I think she's going to put on him the same responsibilities that she put on John. Like, listen, y'all can agree. I know y'all can agree on the top of the roster. You know, it may be hard at times as guys get older and you got to make that decision on, do we cut ties with this player now or do we wait another year or two? But that's the top half of the roster. What I want you to really focus on, because it seems like listening to Jeff, listening to McClain, Rand is a really good, one, communicator. Two, he's a really good evaluator of talent, especially at the lower end of your roster, because they kept pointing at, look at San Francisco's roster. Look at from top to bottom. They probably have the best roster in the National Football League. Well, she probably tasked Rand, listen, I want you to really concentrate on building up the bottom half of our roster. So if we do run into these problems again where guys are getting hurt, the starters are getting hurt, we don't have to worry because we know you've done your job at building up the roster. So when they have to step in and play, we're good. You know, yeah, we may drop off just a tad bit, but not to a point where we end up losing seven straight and play ourselves out of the playoffs. So to me, if this thing doesn't go the way she wants it to, then, you know, it's almost like she would point back to the GM in a sense. Like, I brought you in to build this roster up. That's if the roster isn't built up the way she likes it. Now, if it's built up the way she likes it, but Mike's not getting the job done from a coaching standpoint, then she's going to get rid of him, you know, before they move in that stadium. But if she feels the same thing is happening over again, she's going to make the decision to change the GM for whatever, you know, for whatever reason. But if she feels that the bottom half of this roster is not to a point where she wants it, then she's going to look to the GM again, because I'm sure that was one of her reasons why bringing him in here. She looked at San Francisco's roster, top to bottom, and said, you know what? I like what y'all were doing at the bottom half of your roster, because the main thing she probably looked at is said, Trey Lance went down, Jimmy Garoppolo went down, and who was this Purdy guy? Purdy, you scouted him? Yeah, you scouted him, and wow, look at what he's doing. You know what? I want you to run my team, because we have been in that situation and we didn't fare well. So we are bringing you in to make sure that if we do get in this situation again, that we'll be okay.
And it's also really difficult to look at, oh, you know, if personnel is the problem, mm-hmm. GM, if on the field is the problem, winning games is the problem, then coach. Mm-hmm. But I could argue, and I don't want to take anything from what Brock Purdy has done, because he's mm-hmm. going out there and he's balling. But I could argue, well, that's not as much of the evaluation of Brock Purdy. That's not on John Lynch for deciding to draft Brock Purdy with the final pick in the draft. That's Kyle Shanahan and his coaching ability. Mm-hmm. So the coach can make the GM look really good, can make the GM look like a genius. Like, we found this George Kittle kid mm-hmm. in the fifth round, and now he's an all-pro. Or the coach can make the GM look really bad. You know, I know I understand the Titans injury situation this year. I don't think there's a team in the league that would be able to overcome how many injuries the Titans suffered this year. But you could argue, you know, Mike Vrabel made his fair share of on-the-field mistakes this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Todd Downing made a whole bunch of dumb calls. Mike Vrabel ultimately oversees all of the calls that Todd Downing has made. So some of those bonehead calls that we looked at, we were thinking, oh my God, Todd Downing, what are you thinking? Mike Vrabel ultimately is responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you could look at, okay, well, you know, what did Mike Vrabel have to work with? Mike Vrabel was working off, you know, a bunch of Island of Misfit toys picked off the practice squad because John Robinson didn't think that it was necessary to find a legitimate backup quarterback and put in a third-round quarterback that wasn't ready to play in the league, and Mike Vrabel was forced to work with that. So it's difficult because your GM can make your coach look like a genius. Your coach can make your GM look like an idiot. And it's hard to evaluate when you're looking at if it gets to a point where fingers have to be pointed, who is it going to be at? And that's on a case-by-case basis, but it's hard to evaluate. And sometimes it's not always the right answer.
Yeah, you don't. Hopefully, they will not continue to go on this carousel of, you know, bringing in a GM, replacing a GM after 3-4 years, bringing in another GM, replacing another after 3 or 4 years, but all the while keeping the same coach in his seat. You know, hopefully they don't have to go through that. I want to believe, and I tend to believe, that, you know, Rand comes in. You know, they know the vision of this team. I think John, because of what Rand has, the organizations he has been with, more importantly, and most notably, the San Francisco 49ers and what they've been able to do, I would tend to think that Vrabel's, that his ego will be put to the side and say, you know what? I saw what you were a part of in San Francisco. I'm going to defer to you, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to help put together a championship team. The big word is trust. I'm trusting you that you're going to put together a championship team. You can't be thinking about, well, if we make this move, he's going to get fired, or I'm going to get fired. No, you got to trust that Rand's going to do the job that Amy has hired him to do, whether that is to build up the bottom half of the roster or the roster in general. You know, evaluating my veteran guys that are on the team now. I have to trust as a head coach and put my ego to the side. I'm not saying, listen, Mike has an ego probably just as big as anybody else's. Hell, you got to have one. Hell, I had an ego. Playing, you have to have that. But you got to know when to put it aside for the betterment of the team. And I think I think Mike will be able to do that because of the success that Rand has come from. And he was a part of that. He just didn't sit back idle and watch everybody do their work. He went out and did the grunt work. He did the film watching. He did the evaluation. So you want to trust that he put in the time. So I'm going to defer to you because we're both on the same page as far as what we want this team to look like.
Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kevin texts into the text line, says, Rand Carthon's coming from a spot where the head coach has final say. I don't think he's going to have an issue with that. Why would he want to bring in a player here that Vrabel doesn't like? I don't think that they will disagree much. They both want good football players. Of course they do. Yeah. And that's my whole point is Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, Amy Adams Strunk, every player in that locker room, every member of that front office all wants the same thing. Good players win football games, win a championship. They all have the same end goal. But to the point of why would he want to bring a player in here that Vrabel doesn't like, I think it's kind of the same idea of D-Mace, you know, when we're planning a show together, I say, D-Mace, I really want to talk about this topic. Mm-hmm. And you say, I don't want to do that. I'm like, D-Mace, I promise you it's going to be a good one. Let's just do it. Mm-hmm. And we do it and it's great and we get phone calls and it's a hit. And I'm like, look, I told you it was going to be a good idea. So sometimes even when you disagree, and you have one person that says, no, we're doing this, it could end up being a good thing. It could also blow up in your face. So I understand the idea of why would he want to bring a player that Vrabel doesn't like? Why would Vrabel want to bring in a player that Rand Carthon
has
evaluated poorly?
It's the trust. Yeah.
It's a trust, and I think that's key here as well. Hal Gill will join us coming up next. Predators on the road in action tonight at St. Louis. We'll get Hal's thoughts on where the team is now and where they go from here. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.